We'll now turn to the chapter which we read together, 2 Kings chapter 5, and we shall read the last verse of the chapter, 2 Kings 5 and verse 27. The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper, as white as snow. We have here a fascinating little snippet from the history of Israel, from the history of redemption as it's recorded for us in the scriptures. We're told about the commander of the enemy army, Naaman. He is healed of his leprosy, and the prophet's servant Gehazi receives the leprosy instead. Strange. The captain of the enemy army restored. The servant of the prophet condemned. Some people have all the privileges, all the opportunities, all the blessings. Some people are born into a Christian home. They're brought to Sunday school. They grow up in the church. They have the Bible. They're taught these things from childhood. And they live with these things. And yet, they fall away. Or they continue all their life with a certain kind of knowledge, but they are never saved. They've got a head knowledge, but not a heart knowledge. It's not enough, you see, for us to be respectable. It's not enough for us to come to church. It's not enough for us to know our Bibles, unless we also are committed to Christ. What good will it do us to spend all our days living a good life and highly thought of by others if we're really just hypocrites at the end of the day, because it's all just a show, and deep down in our hearts there's no true love for God and no true faith in Jesus Christ. So friends, there are some, and they're like Gehazi here, living with a prophet, seeing the prophet, hearing the prophet, and yet with an unconverted heart. And then we see somebody from outside, a Syrian, an enemy of the people of God, and he comes along and suddenly he is converted. He's born again. How wonderful. What an encouragement there is to those who are outside to come and to come to Christ and to be saved. And what a warning to those who are in the church to make sure that you are saved. You know, Solomon says something in the book of Proverbs which is very challenging, a terrible warning really. He says in Proverbs chapter 29 verse 1, he that been often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The person who has many opportunities, the person who's often heard of their duty to repent and believe, the person who has been under the gospel for so long and doesn't respond to it, one day they will be destroyed. Destroyed. What a terrible word. And how awful to think that anybody who's a churchgoer. Anybody who belongs to the church, reading their Bible, outwardly respectable, should suddenly be destroyed without remedy. What a warning. Lots of people say, oh, I don't want to go to church because there's so many hypocrites in the church. They're right. There are many hypocrites in the church. And you and I have to make sure that we are not hypocrites. We mustn't be all show with nothing inside. It's not a matter of living a good life, as it were, and pretending to others that we're so good, if in our hearts we're not right with God. So on the one hand, there's a great warning here to the people in the church. But on the other hand, there's also a great encouragement to the outsider. Come in. Come to Christ and you're welcome. I remember in my first congregation in Partick, there was a man there who had been attending church all his life. And one day he said to me, I don't think it's fair. I've been going to church all my life and I'm not converted. And I see people coming into this church and in a few weeks they're converted and they become members of the church. It is fair. Why was he not converted? Because he would not repent. He would not believe. He would not humble himself before God. He wouldn't ask for mercy. He wouldn't come to Christ. Jesus is freely offered in the gospel. Whosoever will, let him take. Take Christ as your Savior, and you'll never perish. Isn't it wonderful that you don't have to spend a lifetime following Christ to be saved? The Bible tells us that when Jesus died on the cross, there were two others dying beside him. Thieves. They'd spent their life in crime. And what happened? One of the thieves was cursing Jesus and mocking Jesus. And the other thief turned and said, stop what you're doing. We deserve to die the way we're dying. But this man in the middle doesn't deserve to die in that way. He never did anything wrong. And then he turned to Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me when you enter into heaven. Lord, have mercy on me. And Jesus said to him, today, you shall be with me in paradise. What a wonderful story. That man began that day, began that Friday, unconverted, dead in trespasses and sins. And then he was born again, and he spent an hour or two in a state of grace, and he ended the day in a state of glory in heaven. How long does it take to become a Christian, a true born-again Christian? It doesn't take years, and it doesn't take months, and it doesn't take weeks, and it doesn't take days, and it doesn't take hours. Repent and believe, and you'll be saved this moment. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. First of all, tonight then, I want us to think of this point. Salvation is free. Salvation is free. It's for all. Whosoever. Here we see an enemy. A man who had
conducted raiding parties into Israel.
And remember, Israel at that time was a church. And here was a man outside of the church, outside of the people of God. And not only was he outside, but he was a belligerent enemy, attacking God's people and raiding them. And he even took away captives out of Israel, involved in war against God's people. And he's healed of his leprosy. And more than that, his soul is saved. What does that tell us? It tells us the gospel is for everyone. In the New Testament, we come across a man called Saul. Saul of Tarsus. You remember him? Persecuting the church of God. Going round imprisoning Christians, getting them beaten up and some of them put to death just because they were Christians and loved Jesus and believed in him. Saul hated Christians. And he hated Christ. And then one day, he met with Jesus and he was converted. And he became Paul the Apostle, a mighty worker for God, a great man of God. It's amazing what God does. Isn't it wonderful that enemies can be saved, that persecutors can be saved, that blasphemers can be saved? You can be saved. Whatever your background, whatever sins you've committed, oh, I'm too big a sinner. I've done horrible things. I've let God down in so many ways. You don't know the things that are in my past. There's no hope for me. Friend, doesn't matter what your past is like. Doesn't matter what sins you have committed. Or even what crimes you have committed. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Salvation is for all. Whatever your background, whatever your past religion or lack of religion, it's for all. And more than that, it's free. It's free. Naaman, he wanted to pay. He had brought heaps of gold with him and silver and beautiful clothes. And once he was healed of his leprosy, he could have made his way straight home to Syria, but no, he went back to the house of Elisha and he said, now, take a blessing. Take a gift from me. Take a thank you from me. I'd love to give you something. And he was really keen to give something to the prophet as a thank you for his health. But the prophet said, no, I don't want anything. I want to show you that my God is a God who gives for nothing. He gives freely. You can't buy it. It's free. Salvation is free. Freely you have received, freely give. Man came to church this morning, and on the way out, he said, where's the collection plate? I told him, forget about the collection plate. It's already been taken away. Forget about it. It's not about collection plates. It's not about giving. No, it's about free salvation. We're the free church. Now I know that means that we're free from state interference. But it also means this. We believe in a free gospel. And that gospel is for anyone, for nothing. There's a collection plate. We're not going to stick it under people's noses. Oh no. And you can come to this church all your life and never put a penny in it. And you'll never be condemned by us. No. It's not about money. And you cannot earn salvation in any way. You cannot buy it. It's free. God gives it to us for nothing. Christ bought it for us. not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What a Saviour! Free gift, free salvation, free church. Salvation is free. Secondly, we notice here that church attenders have great privileges. We encourage people to come to church, and it's good that you do come to church. We want people to hear the truth. Faith cometh by hearing. It's good to know about salvation. You can't know enough about salvation. It's good to listen to the warnings of the Bible and to the promises of the Bible. It's good to see people's lives being changed by the gospel. And yet, although all these things are helpful, sometimes, sadly, people are hardened under the gospel. What a thought, isn't it? That people can come. They come to church and they hear the message. Day after day, week after week, year after year, they hear gospel sermons and they hear encouragements and invitations and persuasions. And they build up a resistance to the message. Oh, how that should trouble us. The gospel is a savour of life unto life, and a savour of death unto death. If we don't receive it joyfully and accept it and practice it, it hardens our hearts and condemns us. Here's Gehazi. He lives with Elisha. And he sees the holy life of the prophet. And he listens to Elisha's prayers and to Elisha's teaching. And he listens to his prophecies. And he sees Elisha's miracles. The different things that Elisha did. He sees Naaman the Syrian wonderfully healed of his leprosy. And yet he is unconverted, and his heart is hardened, and all he wants is money. Money. How sad. All he wants is money. What shall it profit a man though he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? A week or two back, there was an article in the paper about a man who had died. I just saw the headlines. I didn't read it through. A man who had won, I think it was $9 million on the lottery. Two or three years later, he died penniless and miserable. What shall it profit a man, though he gain the whole world? Can money make you happy? Can money save your soul? Can money give you eternal life? No, it can't. And yet, so many people, they work and they work and they work and they work for money. And they work 7 days a week for money. As we go round the doors here, we find so many people, and they can't find time on Sunday to come and worship God. They must work Sunday after Sunday. They must work 7 days a week to make more and more money. And why? What good will money do them? One day you die, and you leave every penny behind. Some people, they own lots of houses, and they have hundreds of thousands of pounds in the bank. And are they any different in death to the beggar? Not one whit. death is a great leveller. Everyone gets their own little plot of ground, or they're burnt to ashes and scattered to the wind. But that's not all. When you die, after death the judgment, heaven or hell. Gehazi had great privileges. What a teacher he had. What a wonderful position he was in. Just think if you were living in intimate contact with a holy man of God like Elisha. What a man of God he was. To be sharing the same house, to be constantly listening to him, constantly involved in him, talking to him, hearing, seeing, and yet, what a blessing this man had, and his heart was hardened. People shall come from the north and from the south, from the east and from the west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of our father, and the children of the kingdom shall be cast out. These were Jesus' words. People from distant lands coming in and being saved, and those who were circumcised and those who were baptized, children of the kingdom, cast out. A verse, another verse in Jeremiah. It's a very challenging verse. Jeremiah 8, verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. It was talking about a time of famine, and the people looking forward to the harvest, and there was no harvest. And they looked forward to the summer fruits, and there was no summer fruits. The harvest in the spring, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Could it be the same in your life? The harvest time is past, and the summer is ended, and you are not saved. The time of blessing gone. The time when you would look for salvation gone. Your life gone. And you're lost. There's a warning there for us. Thirdly, notice the great distraction here. Usually there's a simple explanation why people are not saved. There's something that distracts them, something that's more important to them than salvation. Sometimes it's their friends. Sometimes it's their family. Sometimes it's their job. Sometimes it's the hobby that they have. There was one fellow tonight, and he seemed to be quite interested in coming along. But he went to play golf instead. Golf was more important. And here we have a man, Gehazi, and the problem was money. Money kept him from salvation. He wanted to be rich. Surely there's nothing wrong with wanting to be rich. True, nothing wrong with it. As long as it's kept in the right place. But remember the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet. Greed. Love of money, the love of money is the root of all evil. And there are many people and they love money and they perish in their love of money. You cannot serve God and Mammon, said Jesus. Who's Mammon? Mammon is the god of money. can serve God and money. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. What a thought. How can a camel go through the eye of a needle? Generally speaking, rich people care little about their souls. They have it all. The hardest place to go and to do door-to-door work in is a rich neighborhood. You go to the doors and nobody wants salvation. Nobody needs salvation. I've got money. I've got everything. Money can buy health. Money can buy joy and happiness. Money can buy life in all its riches. What fools. Money can't buy the one thing needful. Salvation for your soul. The great distraction. This man, he sees Naaman with his great riches coming to his master, being healed of his leprosy, Naaman wanting to give some of his riches to his master, and his master will not take it. And he thinks, what a clown my master is. I'll relieve Naaman of some of his riches and his wealth. And he would justify it. Naaman raided Israel. Naaman stole from others. Naaman is the enemy of God's people. I'm quite justified in taking money off Naaman. We're very good at making excuses for our sins and our unbelief and whatever else we're doing. Judas Iscariot, think of him. Spent 3 years with Jesus in intimate fellowship. And sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Judas Iscariot. Demas, a fellow worker of the Apostle Paul, having loved this present evil world, Demas forsook the Apostle. What is it that keeps you from Christ? Is it money? Is it family? Is it friends? Is it pleasures? I remember one woman. She seemed to be quite concerned about her soul. Very earnestly concerned. And then one day she said to me, I don't want now to become a Christian. I'm afraid it might come in between me and my husband. He might turn to drink or he might go off with other women. And she left the church. After having become so concerned, she fell away, apostatized. How dreadful. One day death will separate her from her husband. And will she spend her eternity in hell? Fourthly, notice that one sin leads to another. And this man had started with covetousness, desiring money, but then it grew from there. Verse 20 tells us, about him. Behold, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master hath spared Naaman, the Syrian, in not receiving from his hand that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. As the Lord liveth. He's swearing. He's using God's name in vain. He's blaspheming God. As the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So one sin, desire for money, leading on to blasphemy. And then take something off him, I will steal from him. Then telling lies, this whole story that he made up about the two men from Mount Ephraim needing something. And then going into his master and telling a blatant lie.
Where were you?
I was nowhere. And his master knew full well where he was. The New Testament were told about Ananias and Sapphira. They sold some land. And they came with money and they gave it to the church. And they said, that's the money that we got from our land, from the sale of it. Is that all the money that you got? Peter asked. And they said, yes. They wanted people to believe that they were so holy and that they were so kind to the church and they were giving all their money to the church. But they had told a lie. They'd kept back part of it and pretended that it was all the money they'd got. And they were struck down dead. We think that some sins are small. Telling lies. Just last week, we met a man in the doors. And we said, we asked him about heaven and hell. And we said, who goes to heaven? Good people go to heaven. Who goes to hell? Bad people. And we asked him, are you a good person? He said, yes. Do you commit sin? And he said, no. And then I said to him, did you ever tell a lie? Oh, yes. Everyone tells lies. And what is a lie but a sin? The 9th commandment, you shall not tell lies. One sin leads to another, and every sin is wicked in the eyes of the Lord. Finally, we see here the consequences of sin. Gehazi is found out. Be sure your sins will find you out. And one day every sin will be found out on the judgment day, if not before. What is the point of amassing great wealth? Some people have houses and possessions and all sorts of things. And they die and they leave it all behind. But if you set your heart on spiritual wealth, you'll take it with you. This man, he wanted to be rich. And he got riches. And he got more than he bargained for. He got leprosy with his riches. And when he was struck down with leprosy, he would have given up all his riches to be healed of his leprosy. But it was too late. Too late. He was too late in seeking the Lord. Will you be too late in seeking the Lord? The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Trust in Christ. Through him you have life. The blood of Jesus Christ will wash away all your sins. Just as the Jordan washed away the leprosy of Naaman. Privileges and good works and keeping commandments won't save you. The only thing that will save you is Jesus Christ. Have you got Jesus Christ as your Savior? Don't rest content till you have. Without him, you have nothing. Another man we met last week, he spoke about being in this church at a funeral. And he said, I was rather shocked at what the minister said. He said, if I don't have Jesus Christ, I'll end up in hell. What a terrible thing, the minister said. Well, friends, it's the truth. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you'll spend your eternity in hell. Make sure you have Christ.